one should also be kind and refrain from harming others. In this context, vegetarianism is extremely good. I myself tried to become vegetarian in the early 60s and remained a strict vegetarian for about 2 years. However, I developed some physical problems, which is why I am not a vegetarian anymore. These days, I am vegetarian on alternate days, so effectively, for 6 months of the year, I am vegetarian. Recently, in India, while driving from Dharamsala to Jammu Airport, I noticed a lot of chickens in tiny boxes. It was a terrible sight. Those who live in coastal regions survive on fish. Thousands of fish are killed every day. In order to satisfy one human stomach, so many lives are taken away. We must promote vegetarianism. It is extremely important. We should save the lives of other species. Another example, sexual misconduct is one of the main factors responsible for destroying the peace of the family and humanity at large. Sexual self-discipline is greatly required, especially now when all over the world we have this terrible disease known as AIDS. If moral self-discipline is practiced, the quality of life becomes better, and one is a happier person whom others respect. These practices not only lead to ultimate happiness, but immediately create a very positive atmosphere in our family and community. And the individual, too, is happier. On the surface, the life of a nun or monk seems unattractive. The layman's life appears more attractive and colorful. Our lives may seem less colorful, but in the long run, I think the mental state of nuns and monks is more balanced. Undisciplined people have a very colorful life, sometimes too happy, at other times too frustrated. Their life is like a yo-yo. This isn't good for the body. A calm and steady mental state is more desirable. By practicing restraint, we also make a tremendous contribution toward harmless birth control. This is moral conduct on a daily basis. Our real enemy is negative human emotions, such as hatred, jealousy, and pride, the real destroyer of our future and our happiness. It is very difficult to fight this enemy without taking proper defensive measures. Self-discipline, although difficult and not always easy while combating negative emotions, should be a defensive measure. At least we will be able to prevent the advent of negative conduct dominated by negative emotion. That is Schiller, or moral ethics. Once we develop this, by familiarizing ourselves with it, along with mindfulness and conscientiousness, eventually that pattern and way of life will become a part of our own life. Schiller is the basis on which you directly engage with negative emotions. When you have a strong body, your hand is strong and steady, and you can effectively use the axe to cut a tree. Schiller is like that energetic and strong body. With a strong and steady hand, you can hit your target repeatedly on the same spot. Samadhi, or concentration, is like that hand. And wisdom is the axe that actually cuts the tree. What then is vipassana, or special insight meditation? There are many varieties of vipassana. Meditation on death, impermanence, and many other connected meditations. The main vipassana meditation is on the wisdom that arises from an analytical meditation that realizes and meditates on the ultimate nature of oneself, others, and all phenomena. That ultimate nature is shunya. When we talk about shunya, the ultimate nature that we call nothingness, it is the absence of independent existence. In order to realize shunya, we must first be attentive to the differences between appearance and reality. Very often, there are contradictions, things that appear one way while reality may be quite different. But to our sense organs and to the brain, everything appears as if it exists by itself, independently existent. If things truly exist as they appear, then they should get clearer through analytical meditation. But if we investigate, we cannot find them. There is a difference between appearance and reality. The realization of ultimate truth, or the ultimate nature of all phenomena, directly influences negative emotions, because generally, all negative emotions are based on the construct that things exist independently. That is the second level, that direct engagement, combating and controlling the inner enemies that are the negative emotions. When you gain victory over these emotions, that is the stage of liberation, moksha or nirvana. It still does not mean that everything is fully under control. A few snipers may still exist. So, in order to eliminate all these sniper-like imprints of negative emotions, we require a lot of effort. When I explain Buddhahood or moksha, sometimes people get very excited. And when I elaborate that in order to reach that goal, we have to go step by step, people sometimes lose patience. That is not positive. I think that in some cases, we Tibetans lack seriousness. We know Buddhism very well, but in terms of practice, we are sometimes lazy. Some of our new Buddhists, especially from the West, are very, very serious, sometimes a bit too serious. After a few years, they lose interest in it completely. Seriousness is good, but only if accompanied by patience. Without patience, it tends to bring disaster. Cleansing all the imprints of negative emotions is rather difficult.